discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, just this month, the researcher George Barna shared that across America, less than 1 in 4 of those who identify as Christians also say they've read through the whole Bible. In an age where more information is available with greater ease than ever, are we somehow losing touch with the central foundation of our faith? Today, we go on the road and meet a young man who sees the problem and isn't simply bemoaning it, he is doing something. In college, he felt a tug on his heart to start reading the Bible aloud on campus. And even though he had his misgivings, he started doing just that. That then led to a Bible reading movement that started bringing together the student body and has, in turn, led today to an effort that's taking the spoken word of God to churches, camps, and even homes in communities across the region. The ministry is called Josiah's Gift, and that young man is Mark Beck. And so it's a pleasure to have you here today on the road, Mark. Thanks for making time with us, and a hearty welcome to you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we dig into your story here, what is your reaction first to that stat? Less than 1 in 4 Americans who identify as Christians have read through the Bible. Mark, why is this book, which has seen thousands of years of history, still so important to us?
The stat doesn't surprise me very much. The Bible is less and less important to people as we go along. Part of it is it's big and intimidating. People don't know where to start. They don't know how to read it. They don't know how to experience it. And so, unfortunately, it's not as important to people's everyday lives. And because people don't have any very good experience with it, they don't see any need to be in it on their own. And I think that's very unfortunate and kind of one of the things that I hope changes as we go along here.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about the intimidation factor, and it's almost we've sort of changed the habits of Bible consumption, haven't we? More and more people are getting the Bible in pieces through apps or perhaps on the web. But like you say, there is an intimidation factor when that big book is looking at you in the face, perhaps.
Yeah, that's the question. A lot of, where do I start, you know? And if you start in the wrong place, it's hard to say that, but if you start in, you know, some places like, I don't know what's going on here.
Right.
I don't know where to read. I don't know what to do with it. And so there's just, and then people give up.
Yeah, understood. You land your beginning of Bible reading probably in the third chapter of Leviticus, and you're like, what's going on? Okay. So, first things first, then, Mark Beck, what is Josiah's Gift, and what is it that you do, sir?
Well, Josiah's Gift is an idea that all you need to change a life is for someone to encounter God's Word. And we see this in a number of instances in history, and I've experienced it in my own life now as I've gone forward with this ministry. And basically, the story comes from 2 Kings 22, where a young king, Josiah, who fears the Lord and is loving him and is actually doing lots of things for the Lord, even renovating the temple and doing some good things, he encounters God's word for the first time when he's 25 years old, and he realizes that he didn't actually know what God had to say about covenant and about his love for the people and about his ideas about sin. And then he repents and he comes to God and leads an entire nation for one generation back to the Lord, all because his willing heart encountered God's word. And that's kind of the heart of behind everything that we're doing. And you see it in a number of instances in the Old Testament and other places where they just read the Bible and people are changed and nations are brought back to God. And that kind of thing gets me really excited.
Picking up that torch, so to speak, you go to organizations, to churches, and even to homes, as you mentioned. I know that you came here to the radio station as well and read the book of, or excuse me, I said read, but you recited the book of Philippians. So what is it that people experience when you go to a home, and what do they encounter?
The goal is to get out of the way as much as possible and let the text speak for itself. And what a lot of people say is, it's like the Bible is brought to life, kind of like the original author was speaking it. And it's not a reenactment. I'm not trying to become Paul or any of these other characters, but right. what the goal is to internalize the text so that it becomes a part of you and you speak it from your heart. And a lot of times our experience with the Bible being read is someone, you know, reading it, you know, off of a page or off of whatever. And,
yeah.
And it's fine, but it's not alive. It's like the difference between two-dimensional and three-dimensional, and that this experience that people get is like the Bible being brought to life and becoming 3D, as it were, in front of them. And a lot of people have said that they've never heard of anything like that before. My favorite compliment that someone ever gave me is they said, that was the best sermon I've heard in 15 years, and it was just the book of Philippians
right.
that I recited. I didn't add anything. I didn't do anything differently. I just gave it to them from the book, and it was a powerful in and of itself.
That's fascinating stuff. And I want to be sure and ask you a little bit later on about the actual memorizing of these books, because that sounds like such a Herculean endeavor. But but I know that you think that it's something people can encounter and can do. So I want to ask you about that in a bit. But we're here with Mark Beck of Josiah's Gift on the road here for Faith Radio. And I'm Ryan Thomas. And looking back at your story a bit, I mean, Mark, you've seen the value and the importance of reading God's Word aloud ever since college, right? And tell me about when you experienced that tug on your heart first, that this was something that you needed to do.
Yeah, I was in Old Testament History and Literature with Dr. Aaron at Northwestern College, and one of the assignments we had was to read through the Old Testament throughout the semester. And so there's a lot of text to cover in all that time with all the other studies, but having to cover that amount of text and that amount of things throughout, I was struck by the simplicity of God's Word, just how straightforward God is. And there certainly can be a lot of complicated issues in the text, but if you look at each part on its own, there's a lot of just very understandable things. And about halfway through the semester, I was struck with this idea that one of the things that we just need on a fundamental basis is just to encounter God's Word. Just, like you said, people haven't read through the Bible. People haven't read it for themselves. They don't even know what God has to say, much less than be confused about what he has to say.
Right.
And in that process, the Lord put it on my heart to just start reading it on campus. And at first, I was uncertain that it was the right. I second-guessed myself a number of times. And every time I was like, no, I'm not going to do it, I was like, that was what I was supposed to do. And so I finally, one day, I pulled out my Bible right before chapel. I stood in front of the doorway, opened it up, and I started reading. And for the students coming in, and I did it that day, and I did it the rest of the semester, and in fact, the rest of the year, that school year while I was at Northwestern.
What I think is so fascinating about that, even beyond the face value of what you did, is that you then had a conversation with a member of college ministry leadership, right, that changed your strategy a bit.
Right. The next year I came back, and I wasn't certain what I was supposed to do. I had prayed a whole bunch, but I wasn't one way or the other. Plus, at the time, I mean, I was quite the rebel. I still am in some ways. And I, you know, I'm the kind of person that makes people nervous because they don't know what I'm going to do or what I'm going to do. And so, but in that season of my life, I was learning submission to authority. Authority sometimes that I didn't agree with, sometimes that I didn't like, or
sure.
Some of it, just they were just authority, and who needs to listen to them? But God was really showing me that I needed to change the way I lived in that. And so instead of just going out and doing it again, I went to talk with Dean Paulson, who is one of the student body, I don't even know his title, but he helped out with preaching and chapel and stuff. And I talked with him and asked him what I should do. And he's like, well, how effective is what you're doing? Like, who's actually listening to what you say? I mean, even pragmatically, like they're coming by 20 seconds, maybe they'll hear your voice and then they're passed and gone. And so if your goal is to get people to be in God's Word, you're not actually accomplishing it. But he didn't just leave me at that. He said, well, I'm in charge of chapel. I can give you an entire chapel to use and you can read the Bible to them. And we ended up with the chapel right near Easter. And so we got together with a group of us. We memorized the Passion narrative from Matthew 26 and 27 and put it together with some other things. And we recited that for the student body. And it was super, super effective and powerful. And then the other thing that we came up with was a Bible reading marathon, as it were. It's been done in a number of other places, but we wanted to get people a place where if they wanted to hear from God, they could go and listen at any time. The logistics of that were kind of crazy to do on an ongoing basis, but we figured, doing the math, if you did it for a week, you'd actually read through the whole Bible. And so because it was really hard to get a room on campus, we actually created a room in the middle of the lawn by setting up a big tent. Actually, it wasn't that big of a tent the first year. It was a pretty small little tent, just a camping tent. And we opened up a bunch of Bibles. We had people sign up for different slots. And we started 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday, read through midnight. Again, taking turns. This wasn't one person. This was like 40 people that first year we did it.
Right.
We read 8 to midnight. And when we got Saturday morning, we finished in Revelation 22, and we'd read through the entire Bible as a community in 1 week.
That's remarkable. We're here with Mark Beck of Josiah's Gift, a ministry taking God's Word out loud, read out loud to churches, to community groups, to homes all across the upper Midwest. And we're here on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. I want to trace the story of how the tent of meeting has led to where you are today. But going back to the conversation that was at the root of you reading in the chapel and of the tent of meeting there at University of Northwestern, I'm intrigued by your conversation with Dean Paulson there, because I think for most of us, when we, including myself perhaps, when we face a situation where we're facing a critique or criticism from someone that's above us, I mean, most of us are going to wilt, or we're just going to give up entirely. What was the key for you, do you think, of having a spirit where you could take that critique and use it?
My dad, for a number of years, encouraged me to read through the book of Proverbs once a day. And he's like, well, there's, you know, 31 Proverbs, there's 31 days in a month. You read one a day, you get through once a month. And I had somewhat faithfully been reading through the book of Proverbs for quite a while during those years around that time. And one of the things that Proverbs talks about is that a fool never listens to any critique. And if a wise man is corrected even by a fool, he takes the time to listen to that critique and to determine whether or not it's right or wrong. And in a lot of ways, I had been a fool in different areas of my life.
Sure.
And I was kind of getting sick and tired of all of the consequences of not listening to people.
Right.
And so when a critique like that was given, it was, all right, I don't see exactly how this would work. This wasn't what my plan was, but let's go with it and see what happens from it, and let's try to take this wisdom that I want to be learning and try to apply it. And I was blessed because of it. I was very blessed because of the wisdom that Dean Paulson and several other professors gave to me throughout that season of my life. And I'm very grateful that the Lord brought me to that point where I could hear their critiques.
That's a great word. That's very encouraging to hear, and I think provides some application for so many of us. You spoke to the team that helped you in that first year of the tent of meeting, of reading through the Bible from cover to cover. It continued then years after that, right? The tent of meeting concept, and even spread to other schools as well.
Right. I think it's 9 different times, the majority of which were done at Northwestern. A friend of mine put it together for a college out west in Oregon, and she also did it with a church, a group of churches together. So I think it's been done 9 different times since then. And this past spring, a group of students at Northwestern read through pretty much almost the whole New Testament in one day, trying to kind of restart that ministry on Northwestern.
Excellent. That's a very cool legacy. And How then did that history of what you were doing there at Northwestern lead into the ministry that you're doing today with Josiah's Gift? Was it a process of sort or a moment of epiphany, perhaps?
It was definitely a process. It took quite a while because we graduated. There was the first year we did the Tent of Meeting, it was me and one or two other people, and there's about 40 people involved in the tent itself. The next year was my last year, and there was like 8 people involved in the leadership group and about 80 people came. So it was really cool. But then we graduated. I was like, oh, okay, so what now? And we got together for about a year and a half afterwards every week, and we talked and we planned, we did prayed. And it was really hard to transition the ideas that we had for Josiah's Gift at the time into churches from the college experience, because a lot of the ministry of Tent of Meeting, other things, were very much suited to a college environment, but were hard to implement into a church environment. And so that was one of the problems that we came, that kind of encountered. One of the other things that I've realized since then is that I was trying to get other people to do what I was made to do. Mm. And it's really good if other people will do it, but for me specifically, this is a calling and a gifting that God has placed on me to do, to memorize and recite his word, and I wasn't exercising that. So after about a year and a half, I ended up getting married and moving to Cameroon for a year and a half with my wife, and we came back to the States 2011, and people would ask me, are you going to do Josiah's Gift again? You can do it again. What's going on with it? And for a couple of years, it was like, not a whole lot going on. It's something I still want to do, but I'm not sure what. I had to finally admit that I was using my time very poorly, a lot of it on myself, a lot of it just wasting time on games and other things, a lot of old issues with self-control and self-discipline. And
sure,
the Lord brought it all to head. And so it wasn't trying to start up Josiah's Gift again, but I wanted to memorize a book of the Bible again. And so I started with 2 Timothy. And in it, he talks a lot about fanning the flame, the gift of God, exercising the gifts you've been used, you know, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, preach the word. And it kind of started the ball rolling in a big way. Just, I wanted to do more. I wanted to memorize more. So I memorized a couple more books before I went to camp and shared at camp. And it was a very powerful experience again, just sharing God's word from my heart and watching the lives of these campers just change and seeing what it was doing in them and just realizing that God has gifted me to be able to do this. And so since last fall, I've put aside everything else that I was doing and kind of said, all right, let's memorize stuff. Let's go places. If anyone wants to hear the word of God, I'll come. And the Lord has continued to bless us in that process. And here I am today, continuing to truck on with what he set before me.
Now, you have committed 10 books of the Bible to memory, and it's a remarkable thing to hear you do this. I know many here at the radio station were there when you came in and recited the book of Philippians, but I think most people are going to look at what you do and the difficulty of memorizing and say, how in the world can you do that and memorize so much?
The one comment that I get from most people, the unsolicited 60-70% is, I could never do that. You must have a gift, you know, something to that effect. There is a mentality in people that they are unable to memorize God's word. And a lot of it has to do with our bad experiences in school and just using rote memorization and it's the amount of work that goes into it and the lack of actual, like, oh, I got something out of it, or I can remember it long term or do different things. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
There it is.
In that, if you think I could not memorize that, I can't do it, then you're not going to put the effort and time and energy into it.
Right.
And I never want to minimize that. If you, the Lord puts it on your heart to memorize, you devote the time and effort, I don't care the talent, the ability, the tools you have, you can do it. And I've seen it done by people before who sheer willpower have done it. Now, there's two things that I like to point out in our approach to memorization. Too often, we approach it in just being able to regurgitate the words. I just want to throw the words in me and I want to throw them out. And that's about it. And we focus very much on just being able to say every single word correctly. And I do think there's a very importance to that. There's a value in that. But that's where our focus is all on. Instead of stepping back and saying, what is this about? What is the content? And when I approach a text, I break it into its ideas. And I separate those ideas on a piece of paper and I write it out. And so all the different ideas kind of looks like a grammar tree in some sense, where it's like these bigger ideas are the things that I'm trying to remember. And then I try to visualize, create a picture of those different ideas. And I create those pictures and I go from one picture to the other to remember the flow of thought. Then I attach the words to the pictures and then I recite the words that go along with it. Again, that's not a comprehensive study, but that's in brief. The thing that I encourage people to do is to step back from the words, focus on the content, create a picture of the content, and then attach your words to those pictures, and you will find it more effective in your memorization than if you're just trying to repeat the words over and over enough till you get it into your head.
That's fascinating. Thanks for taking us through that. We're here with Mark Beck of Josiah's Gift, a ministry that's taking the Bible, the written word of God, and is reciting it aloud. And that living word of God, communicating it to groups and churches and community groups and Bible studies and homes all across the upper Midwest. And I want to give you a chance, Mark, in just a few moments to share a website where people can go and check out more, see some videos of you in action as well, and some of your compatriots there at Josiah's Gift. I had this question, though, as our time quickly wanes away, as we know that it does. What if there's somebody who's in the situation where you talked about, you found yourself in, where you came to a place and you were a little bit restless and felt that, you know, I'm not using the gifts that God created me to use, and I need to be using those gifts. If there's somebody that finds themselves in a similar situation, what would be a word of encouragement or a word of advice that you would give to them? What should they do?
Go forward. And I memorized 2 Timothy first, not so that I could share it with other people, but because it was what God wanted to say to me. And in that book, if you're in that place, that's where I would point you to first. Because he talks about fanning the flame, the gift of God that is in you through the laying out of my hands. Now, we don't have that experience of Paul laying his hands on in that. But we do know that God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And then in 1 Timothy, which is even more kind of a theme, he says, the verse that we all know, let no one look down on you for your youth. We all know that. That's the, you know, youth power. Here we go. I'll rally around that one. But then he follows it up with something interesting. He says, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in faith, in love, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. And then he says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what am I immersing myself in? What am I devoting myself to? What am I practicing on a daily basis? Am I doing the things that God has set before me to do, or am I practicing or immersing myself in my hobbies, in my work? But oftentimes, those other things that we're immersing ourselves in, that we're addicted to, let's call it what it is, that we are practicing more than we're practicing seeking out God, are the things that's standing in the way. And when we get those things out of our lives, then we can practice and devote and immerse ourselves in the things that God has set before us. And when we do that, and sometimes it's a risk and sometimes it costs, but when we do that, our lives will be much healthier, much better. We will be on a much better place with God and with the world when we're doing what God made us to do.
That voice you hear is that of Mr. Mark Beck. He is the founder and the practitioner of Josiah's Gift, a remarkable ministry that is bringing God's word into churches, to community groups, and the written word of God out loud, recited. powerful, powerful thing. But Mark, if people want to learn more about the story they've been hearing on the road this week, what is your website? I know you've got some YouTube videos on there of what you guys actually do and many other resources as well.
It's josiahsgift.com. Like you said, a number of videos. It also does have a kind of a step-by-step how-to if you want to do memorization, kind of a summary of the workshop that I give on there, just a little bit of a writing out and practical examples of what to do and what it looks like, and yeah, contact information on there too.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you, Mark, to hear your story, and always just a real treat to have a fellow Northwestern alum on the road here with us. So thank you so much for your time, and the very best as you go forward in your ministry.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.